We are approaching Rosh Shavuos, and in honor of Shavuos, I think it's appropriate to engage in some of the sugyas dealing with Kavod HaTorah and honoring the Torah, because Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. So what I'd like to do this evening is to review two very important aspects of Kavod HaTorah, when it comes to standing for a Sefer Torah. When, how, why, different parameters dealing with it. What about the Aron Kodesh? The Aron Kodesh is open. Let's say the Gabbai is coming to put something away in the Aron Kodesh, so you have to stand then. All different types of questions regarding standing when it comes to Sefer Torah. It should be very enlightening regarding the sources and the practical ramifications as well. The Torah in Vayikra, Yud Tes Amud Beis, tells us, Mipnei Seva Takum. When there is a Talmid Chacham, a Zakein, someone who deserves one's honor, walks into the room, so you must stand for the Talmid Chacham. That is a pasuk in the Torah. There's nothing really to debate about that point. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Amud Beis learns from here that you need to stand for a Talmid Chacham. This is brought down the halacha in the Gemara. On the next Daf, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara, after discussing all the different aspects of how you stand for a Talmid Chacham, what type of Talmid Chacham, all the different permutations. So the Gemara wants to now know, what about for a Sefer Torah? Ibaye Lahu, says the Gemara. Mahu la'amod b'pnei Sefer Torah? Do you have to stand for a Torah? Now, it's incredibly fascinating that the Gemara is questioning. I mean, we take it as a given that you stand for a Torah. A Talmud Chacham, but certainly for a Torah. And the Gemara is questioning, do you have to stand for a Torah? How do we know of such a thing? So the Gemara answers, Rechilki v'Rav Simon v'Rav Elazar, Amri kal v'chomer, v'pnei lom deha omdim mipanel l'kol shekein. If you're going to stand for the people who have learned Torah and have mastered certain areas of the Torah, certainly you will stand for the Torah itself. That seems to be a logical inference. Very clear in the Gemara. And Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe Orachaim, Chelekei Lamedches Aleph, I know that is the controversial 8th volume, but nonetheless, it's not really so controversial at this point, because it was already previously published in a journal called the Am HaTorah. The Am HaTorah is the Torah journal of the Agudas Yisrael of America. And in Madur Beis Chelik Vav, Rav Moshe, the Tshuva already appeared in the 1980s, even before the controversial 8th volume came out, so we can be for sure that this is something that we can all agree to. Rav Moshe says that standing for a Torah is a din d'oraisa, a Torah-level fulfillment of a mitzvah to stand for a Torah, of Kavod HaTorah. This is also the opinion of the Emek Bracha, Rav Arya Pomeranchuk, the famous Talmud of the Brisker Rav, on page Mem Gimel as well. We will return to Rabbi Pomeranchuk's Chidushim momentarily. This is the opinion that standing for a Sefer Torah is midoraisa. In general, the Prima Gadim understands always that any aspect of Kavod HaTorah, of a Sefer Torah, is a Torah-level commandment. So certainly standing for a Torah while it is walking around is a Torah-level commandment. On the other hand, we seem to have a contradiction, because the Gemara in Makos, at the very, very end of Makos, on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, tells us the following statement. Amar Rava, Kama Tipshai Shar Inshi, how foolish are some people, Dekaime Mekame Sefer Torah, that they will stand up when the Sefer Torah comes past them, V'lo Kaime Mekame Gavar Rabba, but they will not stand up when a great person, a great Talmud Chacham, comes by. De'ilu b'sefer Torah k'siv, in the Torah it says arba'im, yakenu, right? We know if a person violates an iser in the Torah for which the Torah does not prescribe the punishment. We're not talking about a capital punishment, but any iser which the Torah does not prescribe the punishment, unless there are other extenuating circumstances, the punishment is always lashes. 40 lashes, says the Torah. But we all know you don't really get 40 lashes. You actually get 39 lashes. So, V'asu Rabbanan, says the Gemara, U'batzru Chada, and the rabbis come, and they take away, they use the power of the drushos, of making a drusha, an exposition of the Torah, and they remove one of the makos, and therefore you're down to 39. So says the Gemara, the Torah says 40, and Chazal are so powerful, so to say, that they can come and knock it down one. So who has more power, the Torah or the rabbis? The Torah, says the Gemara. Sorry, the rabbi, says the Gemara. Clearly, we see you need to stand for the Talmid Chacham. So we have a contradiction here when it comes to understanding who is preferable, the Torah or the Talmid Chacham. What is better? The Gemara Makos seems to say clearly the Talmid Chacham is preferable. And the Gemara Kedushin says that the Torah, the Sefer Torah, is preferable. So how do we resolve such stiros? How do we dissolve such contradictions? So there are essentially two schools of thought. I'm going to list six very quickly here. They're not on the source sheets. I'm going to go through six very quickly. There are many, many more. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a beautiful article in the Kovetz Yeshorin Chelek Tesvav. There's a beautiful essay regarding how to deal with this issue. But we're going to propose two different approaches. Either the Torah is more significant, greater than the Talmud Chacham, or on the other side, you have to say the Talmud Chacham. But it's very weird you're going to say that they're both equal. Something has to give somewhere. The first approach is that of the Tosas HaRash. The Rush of the Rishon, right? He wrote comments like a Tosas. Tosas just means that there was a collection of ideas amongst those rabbis who were of the school of Rashi. And different Balia Tosos were actually the authors of different Masechtos, right? One Balia Tosos was actually the entire author of Avodah Zarah versus Makos versus Gedushin versus Ginnin. We actually have lists. We know which personality was the major editor on which Masechet in Shas. So the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, had his own versions of Tosos, his own comments on the Gemara. So it's the Tosos HaRush. So the Tosas HaRush there in Kedushin explains that the kavod for a Sefer Torah is certainly greater than the kavod given to a Talmud Chacham. This does raise an issue though, because the Tshuvas HaRush in Klal Yud Gimel, Sif Yud Dalid, says that the one who learns Torah is greater than the Sefer Torah, but let's ignore that for now. The Rush here in the Tosas HaRush says that the Sefer Torah is certainly greater than the Talmud Chacham. However, the Gemara in Makos is simply stating that standing for a Torah is learnt from standing from Talmidei Chachamim, and the two ideas are inherently linked, meaning it would be foolish to not stand for one and not the other. It's not that one is better than the other, it just means that they are essentially on the same level. How could one not honor one and honor the other? If you're going to honor one, it makes sense to honor both. But not that one is better than the other. It just means that they are linked together in the honor that needs to be given to them. So the Rush is a pacifist. There's nobody arguing. And everybody fits together. On the other extreme, or on one extreme, is the Maharit. The Maharit says, he argues with the Tosas HaRush, and he says that the Gemara in Makos clearly implies that the Talmud Chacham is better. The Gemara called the people foolish for not standing for a Talmud Chacham. So clearly, the Talmud Chacham is greater than the Sefer Torah. Therefore, he explains that there's a hierarchy. The hierarchy is this. A Talmud Chacham who's Mora Hora, who paskins complicated questions, is greater than a Sefer Torah. But a Sefer Torah is greater than Talmud Chacham, who's not a Mora Hora, who doesn't paskin complicated issues. So it's Mora Hora, Sefer Torah, and regular Talmud Chacham. That is the order according to the Maharit. This is his approach. And this is also the understanding of the Maritz Chias and the Siyat Yitzchak at the end of Makos as well. So we have such an approach that it goes Tam Mora Hora, Sefer Torah, and then regular Talmud Chacham. The Sefer HaMakna defends the Tosas HaRush, and he gives a bunch of different answers. He says the Sefer Torah is more important than Talmud Chacham because the Talmud Chacham was taught by the Sefer Torah. Well, how is the Talmud Chacham going to know anything unless he has the Sefer Torah? So, right, you can't get to B unless you have A, and they have a whole discussion back and forth. The next approach to this debate is the Ran. The Ran and the Maaser Rokeach and the Rambam explain that before the Torah is explained, and it's a closed book, right, I have a Sefer Torah here, and nothing makes sense to me. So, and I have a Talmud Chacham who can explain it to me. So the Talmud Chacham is greater than the Sefer Torah, because I need the Talmud Chacham to unlock the words of the Torah. However, once Chazal come and explicate, and they explain the Torah, and they illuminate the words of the Torah, then it flips. And I see how brilliant the Torah is, and the Torah is now on top, and becomes more important. So it depends on which period we're talking about. Before I understand the Torah, so the rabbi is more important. But once now the rabbi has explained to me the beautiful secrets and unlocked the light of the Torah, so now the Torah becomes greater because I see the wisdom inside of the Torah. A beautiful approach from the Ran. The Maharsha there in the Gemara in Makos says that the Torah is certainly greater than Talmud Chacham. He says that the Gemara in Makos is referring to who are the foolish people, who's this very unique category. It is people who feel that what do we need the rabbis for? The Torah is fine. What do the rabbis come along and they come with all these extra laws and they make all these drushos? What are they talking about? Who needs the rabbis? And therefore, says the Maharsha, we're just coming to tell these people, no, we need Chazal, we need the Rabbanim. They're an important part of the Masorah, important part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and therefore they add positively to what the Torah says. And they should stand for them because they add to the understanding of the Torah. The Aruch HaNer, Rav Yaakov Ellinger, cites this understanding of the Maharsha and says that it makes no sense. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Saditas Lama Beis, says that those people who say, what do the rabbis add to the Torah? What's the point of Chazal? What are the points of the rabbis? Those people have no chelek in Olam Haba. So asks the Aruch HaNer, you're going to tell me the Gemara in Makos is telling the people who don't even care what the Gemara in Makos says that you need to respect Talmid HaChachamim. Those people have no chelek in Olam Haba in the first place. They're giving them a Musar Shmuz, they're not even going to read the Gemara. So it can't be it's telling people who don't respect rabbis or Chazal, you need to respect Chazal. They're never going to hear this in the first place. So the Aruch HaNer says that the Sefer Torah is greater than a Baki in Torah Shebichsav. Okay? Meaning, I have someone who aced the Chidon HaTanach, so a Sefer Torah is greater than a person who aced the Chidon HaTanach. But a person who's a Baki in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sheba'al Peh, who knows Shas and Tanakh, so that's greater than the Sefer Torah. Because he not only has Torah Shebichsav, but he has as well Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that trumps the Sefer Torah. So that's another hierarchy according to Aruch HaNer. And finally, the last one we're going to discuss is Rav Yishai Pinto, or the Rif. But not the Rif that you know from the back of the Gemara. The Rif on the Ein Yaakov. You know, the Ein Yaakov is the collection of the Midrashim, and there's a Rif of Yishai Pinto, who was a nephew of Rav Chaim Vital, who was the rabbi of Damascus. So he writes in his parish on the Ein Yaakov that a Talmid Chacham who's in the middle of learning Torah is greater than a Sefer Torah. At that moment in time, he's learning Torah, so he's greater than a Sefer Torah. But a Talmid Chacham who's just standing around and not learning Torah at that moment in time, so the Sefer Torah is greater than him at that moment. And therefore, we have given at least six different approaches to understand the contradiction between the Gemara in Makos and the Gemara in Kedushin. Good. Let's move on to Halacha Lemaisa. So what do we walk away from this Gemara with? The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah here, in the third source, writes in Halacha Yud, in Perek Yud Halacha Tes, Kol HaRoa Sefer Torah Kishu Mahalich Chayv La'amod Mipanav. Exactly what the Gemara says. You see Sefer Torah moving, you have to stand up. Adindo Reis, as we said, no questions asked. V'hiyu hakol omdim ad shiyamud zeh shuhu mahalich bo. The Rambam now begins to tell us something that is not in the Gemara. How long do you need to stand for, or when can you sit down when the Sefer Torah is going around? So you need to stand k'shigenu l'mukomo, until the Torah gets to its resting place. It's not simply enough that the Torah walks by you that you stand up. You need to stand until the Torah has stopped moving. Then he says, or until you can't see it anymore. They bring the Torah out of the room to bring it to another minyan, so you don't have to wait till it gets upstairs to sit down. Once it's out of vision, so then you can sit down, and then you're allowed to sit. Asks the Kesa Mishnah, this is very beautiful, and this is very special, but where did you get this from? This doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. You have to wait till it walks by. Where does this come from?
So the Rambam.
What?
He's the Rambam.
So the Kesed Mishnah says, let me tell you where he gets this from. If you look at the language of the Rambam, it is pretty much lifted word for word from Hilchos Talmud Torah, where the Rambam tells us how we need to treat Talmidei Chachamim. But more specifically, the Nasi. The Nasi is the Gadol Hador. So says the Kesed Mishnah, the Rambam is simply transferring what's going on. What happens? V'din ha-nasi isa b'ha'u pirka v'kasva rabbeinu perek yud v'hilchas tamat Torah she'enu yoshiv ad she'yoshim mimkoma o she'is kasam enav. If the Gadol Hador walks into the room, you need to stand up till he gets to his resting place or until he leaves the room. V'kasva rabbeinu shu ha'din b'sefer Torah, the Rambam assumes that it must be the same by a sefer Torah d'nasi mitam rabbahu, because the Nasi, the Gadol Hador, is your Rebbe. What does that mean? We'll have to explain in a second. The Gadol Hador, whoever that may be, whoever that person may be, one of the Gadol Hador has the status of Rabbo Mufak, has the status as being your Rebbe Mufak. For your Rebbe Mufak, the person who has taught you the majority of your Torah, you need to stand up in this fashion. You have to stand up until he leaves the room, everything we've said. Why is the Gadol Hador, how do we know that the Gadol Hador is treated like every person's individual Rebbe? It's the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that when Shmuel was brought to Eli for the first time, Shmuel HaNavi, when he was a little boy, after his mother Chana kept her promise that if she had a son, she would dedicate him to the Beis HaMikdash. So she brought him to the Beis HaMikdash to see Eli. There was a whole bit of a discussion there regarding the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And Shmuel, the young boy, gave his opinion in front of Eli. So the Gemara tells us that Eli said to Shmuel, it's very cute, but you're chayiv misa. So you're chayiv a death penalty. So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, that's the end of the Gemara. So Tosus asks, why? Why is it chayiv misa? So the Gemara said, because he paskin talacha in front of his Rebbe. So Tosus says, but Eli wasn't the Rebbe of Shmuel HaNavi. This is the first time they ever met. How is Eli HaKohen Shmuel HaNavi's Rebbe? So Tosus says, the status of the Gadol Hador, who Eli was, is the din of Rabo Muhak, is the status of your Rebbe. So, let's go to a period in time where we can all agree to a Gadol Hador. Rav Moshe Feinstein, okay? So Rav Moshe Feinstein walks into the room, so even though you might have never spoken to him before, he has the status of Rabo Muhak, and therefore all the halachas pertaining to honoring one's Rebbe, who's taught him the majority of his Torah, applies to that figure. And therefore, let's take a number of steps back. The din of a Nasi is considered Rabba Muvhak, and the Sefer Torah takes on the din of a Nasi, and therefore all the stringencies regarding standing till they're out of the room, while they're walking, whatever it is, therefore applies to a Sefer Torah, says the Kesef Mishnah. This is why we stand, as long as we do, for a Sefer Torah, until it comes out of your vicinity. Next, the Emek Bracha says, Rav Pomeranchik writes on page Mem Gimel, that standing for the Torah until you can't see it is based on Yira. We know that when it comes to honoring anyone, there's Kavod and there's Yira, right? For parents, there's Kibud Av'Aim and there's Mora Av'Aim. What's Yira? So Rav Shachar always likes to say that Yira means Kavod squared. It's super Kavod. It's more than just being nice. Yira means going to a very extreme extent into honoring a person. And that's what we mean over here. Says Emek Bracha, V'nira, delavad mitzvahs kibud, ikanami b'sefer Torah, mitzvahs mora. There's a mitzvah of not just honoring a Torah, but having yira for a Torah. L'yos b'mor l'fnei ha-sefer Torah, k'mo b'rabba mufak, just like your Rebbe. V'zeo nilma nami b'hai kava chomer, shahari kasav ha-ram, sham d'mikim l'fnei ha-sefer Torah, enav b'sof tzal amos, l'kamo l'enav, k'mo b'rabba mufak. V'shamati b'mor v'rebbe, hagon ha-basin d'brish shlita, the Brisker Rav. He heard from the Brisker Rav. Rav Pomeranchik was in the Talmidim who learned with the Brisker Rav in Europe and then met up with him again in Eretz Yisrael. So he had a lot of time together, him and the Brisker Rav. Tehadzitzarech lakum lefnei rabo mufak melo enav enu midin kibud. The fact that you need to stand for your Rebbe is not a din in kavod. Shereihu dehakim lefnei tam l'chacham enu dal amos. Standing for a tam l'chacham only applies within 4 amos, about 6 or 8 feet. Why do you have to stand the whole time for the Gadol Hador? So, he goes on to say, it's a din in yira. It's a din in yira, and therefore, the fact that we stand, so the Brisker Rav teaches the Chiddush, it's not just kavod Sefer Torah, it's mora Sefer Torah. To have a high level, a super high level of kavod for a Sefer Torah. That's why all these things come into play. Good. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch now. Top of the next column, Shulchan Aruch, Reish Pei Beis Beis. Quotes the Rambam verbatim, Haroa Sefer Torah Kishuhu Mahalech, Chayav La'amod Lefanav, you see a Sefer Torah walking, you need to stand, Vayu HaKol Omdim, Ad Shiyamod, Zeshem Olichu Ve'gilim Komo O, Ad Shizkasa Be'nehem, as the Rambam said, to stand until the Torah is in a resting position or out of sight. The Rama now adds something that we have not seen before. Says the Rama, Aval Lifnechu Mashem Shalanu Ein Trichem La'amod, Ve'ish Machmirim, Hashomea Kol Hanose Sefer Torah, Afal Pish Einu Roa Oso, Chayav La'amod. If you hear a Sefer Torah coming, why does the Sefer Torah have bells? So you can hear the Sefer Torah coming. So when you hear the Sefer Torah coming, even if you don't see it, you have to stand as well, says the Rama. The Rama is quoting the Beis Yosef, quoting Rabbeinu Manoach, that this halacha to stand for hearing the Sefer Torah. Now, what's the source of this chumrah of Rabbeinu Manoach? So if we were to look inside Rabbeinu Manoach, we would see him say that the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis teaches this from Rav Yosef. That Rav Yosef, there in the Gemara, would stand for his mother even when he heard his footsteps coming. Meaning even before his mother came into the room, but she heard his mother walking down the hall, he heard his mother walking down the hall, he would stand for his mother. A very high level of honor. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Manoach, that's why you have to stand, even when you hear the Sefer Torah. The Shachir and Sifkatz and Aleph says, it's a chumrah. It's certainly a chumrah, but this is the opinion of the Ramah, even when you hear the Torah coming. It could be, let's say, that there was a, let's say someone was having a hachnasa Sefer Torah, and it was coming down the block, and you could hear the band coming down the block. It could be that according to this comment to the Ramah, you have to stand the whole time as it's coming through. Because even before you see the Sefer Torah, you hear the Torah coming, and you have to stand for it.
So it's attached to the Torah, or the music bands on, not the Torah.
You don't have Torah. To. You don't have to hear the Torah. Doesn't make.
No, I'm saying, but it's stuff attached to the Torah. So you have the
Ramah says. The Ramah says, "Afmishen Oroa Osochai Kol Hanose Sefer Torah." The sound of the person carrying it. So I would assume that to be the procession of the Sefer Torah. You'd have to stand the entire time out of Mora of the Sefer Torah. This is the opinion of the Ramah. The Birka Yosef, the Chidah here, disagrees with the Rabbeinu Manoach. And he says, V'haraya demaisi harav Rabbeinu Manoach, from Rav Yosef, Kishama kol kara deyam, he heard the footsteps of his mother. V'lishutachos, he says, I don't think this is correct, and it's a big chumra. Because first of all, Rav Yosef standing for his mother when he didn't even see her, that's a chumra number one. You're going to take a chumra from Kibud Av'Aim and take it to another area? How could you have to be, you don't throw around chumras to other places if they don't necessarily fit? And he quotes the discussion, he quotes Rabbeinu Manoach. If you go down to the end, he says something very, very important. Umihu eina raya misapekas lakuma shumea kolonosis sefer Torah. I have another reason why there's no proof from Rav Yosef. To Rav Yosef sagi nahar. Rav Yosef was blind. And therefore, that's why he stood when he heard the sound of Sefer Torah.
He didn't see anybody.
He didn't see anyone. He had to stand when he heard his mother coming because he couldn't see her. And that's why he stood. So what does that have to do with the Sefer Torah? Rav Yosef was blind. That's why he stood when he heard the sound. Not because he had such great honor. Now, that is a very valid point that the Birka Yosef raises. And in our Gemaras, it does say that Rav Yosef would stand for his mother. But the problem is this. If you look in Rabbeinu Manoach in the inside, which I did not bring you, Rabbeinu Manoach's girsa of the Gemara Kedushin is Rabbi Tarfon, not Rabbi Yosef. And therefore, Rabbeinu Manoach
didn't go after Rabbi Yosef.
He didn't care that Rabbi Yosef, it wasn't a factor. And therefore, Rabbeinu Manoach still stands with his proof and extending it from Kibud Av'Aim to Sefer Torah, because his
what was the Gemara actually say?
What?
Was the Gemara actually say they called it Rav Yosef?
Our girsa that we have says Rav Yosef.
So he may have had a wrong text.
But he had a different girsa, but that doesn't change his understanding of how to act. Rabbeinu Manoach still thinks that a person should have to act in such a way.
He's basing on a story of Tarfon. So if his girsa is wrong,
yeah.
So he couldn't have.
No
proof anymore.
Well, regardless whether he has a proof, we still know that Rabbeinu Manoach can't be knocked out because of the... He himself doesn't feel that it's incorrect. He didn't make a mistake in his learning.
He still thinks it's a chumra and a chumra.
He still thinks it's the appropriate thing to do. Now, one of the reasons given for bells on Sefer Torah is for this reason. I saw the Sefer called Nechmada Mipaz on page Shin and Aleph. So he writes that there's a skula from the Zakenu of Yerushalayim that if a child has trouble speaking for developmental reasons, so you should take the bells of the Keser, of the Sefer Torah, and place it in water, and let it sit covered overnight. And the next day, the child should drink from the water. I guess you take out the bell, because you might choke. And there's some sort of skula there for whatever. So the bells of the Sefer Torah have a very varied important roles for the Jewish people. The Aruch HaShulchan in Reish Pei Beis Dalad says, "Mipnei Sefer Torah Psula in Sarach Lamod." You don't have to stand for a Sefer Torah that's pasul. This is totally lahefech the sheet of the Nod of Yehuda. The Nod of Yehuda famously writes in Madura Kama in Yerodea Siman Ayin Aleph that the kedusha of a Sefer Torah that's pasul is the same as the kedusha of a Sefer Torah that's kasher. We treat them with the same level of kavod and yira, and therefore it would seem that according to the Nod of Yehuda, one should certainly stand even for a pasul Sefer Torah, because we generally follow this shita when it comes to the kedusha of a pasul Sefer Torah, and one should certainly stand against the Aruch HaShulchan. That is a Sefer Torah. We'll call that part one. Let's move on to part two. What if the Torah is not moving around? What if the Torah is doing something else? So let's get to the easiest case, which is Hagbah. Why do we stand for Hagbah? The Torah is not walking. It's moving, but it's not walking. So, yeah.
Isn't the definitive thing bim-komo? Is that the focus? So, you know, an Aron Kodesh bim-komo, on the beam of bim-komo. Hagbah is not bim-komo.
So we have to understand a little bit what bim-komo means. That's going to be a debate at the end. But certainly, the Rashba and you are on the same page, that it's going to... That it certainly requires standing. The Tshuvas HaRashba writes in Gimel Resh Payal, in Chelek Gimel, he says as follows. She'el amash she'shamata she'en ha'kal omdim kan b'sha she'ashliach tzibur mara ha'ksav la'am, writes, you know, when he would mara ha'ksav la'am, when he would show the ksav of the Sefer Torah Hagbah to the people, so people apparently were not standing. So they asked the Rashba, what's going on here? So the Rashba says, Tshuva, nir shaviyachu v'kach ma she'omri m'pnei lomdea, kemi paneh, the Gemara we just said, obviously to stand for Sefer Torah, shu'chiyu ha'amada achar she'sefer Torah meduchan, tafishu b'makom echar v'atzir b'makom echar. So the Rashba says that there's only a chiyuv to stand for the Sefer Torah when the Torah and the congregation are in the same reshus, the same area, the same definitive area. But when the Torah and the congregation are separated, there's no need to stand. So when you have a bima that's raised, and there's a different reshus from where the Torah is to where the tzibur is, so in that case, you might not have to stand, says the Rashba, because it's not in your area, it's in a different area. Now, he says, this is no different than a Talmud Chacham who's standing in different reshus. If the Talmud Chacham is standing in his porch, and you're, you know, on the ground over there,
it's in the woman's section.
What? In the woman's section, wherever it is, so then you don't have to stand for him, because he's not where you are. He's not in the same relative area. And therefore, if Hagbah is being done in an elevated area, so there's no need for the congregation to stand. But he concludes that the minig, he says, the achshav, he says, the minig is that now we stand for Hagbah no matter what, no matter where you're standing, and that is the shita of the Rashba. This is cited by the Beis Yosef and Reish Pei Beis as well. Now, the Elio Rabin Kufmim Aleph says that you have to stand for Hagbah. It's not just a minog, it's a din, he says, you have to stand for Hagbah, because it is Kavod HaTorah. Next, the famous Shita of the Taz. The Taz, in Reish Mem Beis, Sif Kachin Yud Gimel, tells us the following halacha. The next page, he says, if you ask my ancient Tzarech Lamod, who cites a certain halacha, you don't have to stand for a Sefer Torah. And then he says, V'gam bizman shah Sefer Torah munachas ba'aron HaKodesh. Even when the Torah is sitting in the Aron Kodesh, Afa Pishu Pasuach, even though the Aron Kodesh is open, you don't have to stand. You don't have to stand. Ela Sheha Olam Osin Kain Derech Kavod Lamod Kosha Aron Kodesh Pasuach. But the minig is to stand. You don't have to stand, but the minig is to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open. This is the famous Shita of the Taz. This is cited by the Mishnah Berurah as well, in the Shaar Tzirin, Kufnam Vav. It's not, surely not a Das Yachid. However, the Chassam Sofer has an interesting statement. Look at the Chassam Sofer, you skip the next source. The Chassam Sofer writes in Choshem Mishpat, Siman Ayin Gimel, V'afilu me'aron kodesh rak pasuach asur le'eshe beis haknesses mikol shekein l'hashkev. The Chassam Sofer says it's not a minag that you just stand, it's asur, if the aron kodesh is open. Now, this is not surprising. The Chassam Sofer was one to take minhagim and strengthen them by making it an Isser, but he certainly has a stronger view. Nevertheless, this is not the Shita of the Poskim, and it is certainly a Minog. The Shas Shuvas Yagel Yaakov in Rechaim Chavav says the Chassam Sofer really means that it's Usser as a Minog, but let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Min Adinein Tzarech Lamod, Kevin Shah Sefer Torah Bim Koma Ach Kevin Shenagu Kevin Lechavod HaTorah Memela, Mi She'ena Omeid Habik Edar Kavod HaTorah. Since it's become the minute to stand, the person who says, I know the Taz says you're allowed to sit, so I'm going to sit while everybody else is standing, he says, you are someone who does not love Torah. Okay? You're rejecting the Torah. If everybody else is standing out of cover of the Torah, and you know a Taz, that's very nice. But if everyone is standing and you're sitting, it's totally not appropriate. And then he says, L'chein hechach lamod achim hu chalosh beraglav, v'liach shadu mutaleh shev. A person is sick, a person is weak, a person is elderly, and they can't stand, and the Aron Kodesh is open, then they do not have to push themselves to stand. If the Seraphim is being carried around, so then, if they can, they should push themselves a little bit more. But if there's even a little bit, they don't feel well, so they're certainly allowed to sit, and it's not a lack of Kavod HaTorah, says the Aruch HaShulchan.
So let me ask you a very simple question. From yes. Simchas Torah.
Yes.
And you're parading around with the Torahs
yes.
all over on the same level.
Yes. It is a very big shiloh in the postgame. The proper thing to do would be to stand or to go to another room. They try to explain why it's okay and why it's not a problem because it's not understand. And they say that maybe if there's like a ring of people around the Sefer Torah and outside, so then it's like a mechitza. Oh. You're not standing in the same rishus. They have fancy shtuklach in order
people
to
can't
it.
Stand for 3 hours. So you're not
the
stand.
The answer is that either you try to stand or you go to another room. You don't have to be in the shul. You go someplace else. Second meaning. The odds are, if you're not standing and dancing and you're sitting, you're probably making leitanos anyway in front of the Torah, so you should go to another room anyway.
You know,
so, I didn't say you. I said someone. Okay. The Igros Moshe in the Chelek Hay, in the Tshuva we just discussed before in Lamechess, says it's a mitzvah ba'alma to stand in Sarachiyav, and therefore if there's a place where the minig is not to stand for psicha, if there is such a place, I think in Breuer's, the minig might be not to stand for psicha. I heard such a thing. So if that's the case, then the minig should be changed so the people should stand for psicha. Ramosha thinks that you should stand, and there should not be places like Breuer's where they sit for psicha. Now, Breuer's probably could care less right. what Ramosha thinks about this, but they have their very staunch minhagim. But nonetheless, if the people do not want to stand for psicha, he says, so he said you should try to open the Aron Kodesh so that it's only gimel tfachim, so that it's like lavud, it's like considered it's closed like by a sukkah, right? And you have 3 tfachim. So he says don't open the Aron Kodesh too much, so it won't be considered as if like it's fully open, and therefore they won't be going against the minhag. Okay, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich asks a question to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is published in the Sefer. Sefer Gamani Odecha in Chelek Aleph, and it's also published in the Kovetz Torah of Tzohar, not the rabbinical organization Israel, another Kovetz Torah. So in Chelek Beis, he asks Chaim Kanievsky, if the Gabbai is going into the Aron Kodesh in a shul where they read from a cloth for the Haftorah, right? So in some shuls, they don't want to keep the Haftorah in the same place where they keep the Sefer Torah, so they have another
separate
place for it, okay? But in some shuls, they do keep the klaf of the Haftorah in the same place where the Torah is in the Aron Kodesh. So he opens up the Aron Kodesh to go in and get the Haftorah. Now, is he going in to get anything to do with the Torah itself? Why should he stand? It's not, because what does that do with Kavod HaTorah? The Torah is not coming out. He's just getting the klaf, or whatever they keep in the Aron Kodesh. Really, you shouldn't keep anything in the Aron Kodesh besides the Torah. But if you're going into the Aron Kodesh to get something, so, you know, why should you have to stand? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says here, he says here at the very end, he says, Tshuva, Shamati, Shemarana, Chaznish, Distapik, Kazeh. He says, the Chaznish was unsure about such a case. I don't know what he was unsure about. But then he says, Beis Yosef, Mashma, She'ein, Tzarech, Lamot. He says that it seems to be, Mashma, Beis Yosef, you don't have to stand. If you're not opening the Aron Kodesh to get the Torah out, so there's no reason to stand.
Oh, so if the Gabbai comes from upstairs from the Ashkenazi minion that they have upstairs and just disturbs our minion in the middle and opens up, you know, puts away the Sefer Torah as he's coming by, so therefore we're saying we don't have to get up.
No, you have to stand for the Torah coming in, though.
You have to stand for the Torah coming in.
You have to stand for the Torah coming in. Okay?
You got to stop talking for a minute. And
so the so that is
well, the hostility's coming out.
That is that is the standing for the that's for the opening of the Aron Kodesh. The Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter Nefesh HaRav in Kuf Samach Gimel, so he says that Rabbi Salvechik had a totally another reason for why we stand by Psicha. He said we don't stand for Psicha because of the Torah inside. He says that when we recite Psicha, we recite Piyutim, we recite these paragraphs regarding Shevach for Kodesh Baruch Hu, which are praise to Hashem. And Rabbi Salvechik felt that a davar shebekdusha. How do you define a davar shebekdusha? Davar shebekdusha is one of these very odd things. A davar shebekdusha is something you need 10 men for, says the Gemara. And then the Gemara says another place, what do you need 10 men for? A Darvish of Kedusha. So what do you need Darvish of Kedusha for? You have 10 men. So it's very hard to define what a Darvish of Kedusha is. Rabbi Soloveitchik and his Yurtzak Shirim would spend a lot of time trying to define and give definitions, but it was always very unclear to define a Darvish of Kedusha. So Rabbi Soloveitchik once said that a Darvish of Kedusha is something in which you have non-specific Shevach for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. General praise, it's not attached to any specific type of form or pasuk or bracha. So like Kedusha. What's Kedusha? We're praising Hashem. It's not part of a bracha. It's just praising Hashem. And therefore, that's the definition. So therefore, maybe, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the piyutim we say when you open the Aron Kodesh are Dvarim Shebekedusha. And therefore you stand, not because the Aron Kodesh is open, but because you're saying Brich Shmei. And therefore that requires you to stand, because it's Dvar Shebekedusha. Certainly a chiddush, but an interesting approach to this issue. The Prima Gadim in Kuf Mema...
Just open the Aron, just take the cloth out, or whatever it is, you're going to be standing.
Yeah, that would fit with it. There you go. So the Prima Gadim in Kuf Mem Aleph says that there's no chiyuv to stand for the Sefer Torah when it's standing in place. And therefore, you don't have to stand when the Torah is resting on the Shulchan or when it's being held during Kel Mali Rachamim. This is the sheet of the Prima Gadim. When it's in a resting position, when it's not in a walking position, the Prima Gadim says you don't have to stand. Just like you don't have to stand if a Talmud Chacham is standing. If a Talmud Chacham is standing there, so you don't have to stand if he's standing, you have to stand when he's walking, not when he's standing. Now, the Igros Moshe, in Yerodea Aleph, Kuf Ayin He, rejects the Prima Gadim. And he says the Prima Gadim is wrong on a number of accounts. First, Rav Moshe says the halacha is that you need to stand for a Talmud Chacham even if he's standing. You only don't stand for Talmud Chacham when he's sitting. And therefore, Rav Moshe says you do have to stand. And therefore, he thinks the Prima Gadim's proof is wrong. Secondly, he says the only place the Sefer Torah is considered bimkomo is in the Aron Kodesh. That's where Torahs belong, in the Aron Kodesh. We try to be very careful to make sure that the Torah is in the Aron Kodesh when we're not doing anything with it. We don't parade Sifrei Torah around for no reason. And only when the Torah is on the Shulchan for the sake of Limud HaTorah is considered resting as well. That is the Ishita of Rav Moshe. So for Kel Malei, we need to stand as well. So, Rabbi Shachter writes in Nefesh HaRav in Amud Kuf Mem Beis, citing a Torah journal that Rav Chaim held that you need to stand for Sefer Torah, not only when it's being held, when it's standing, but also when it's being vertical while sitting as well. Even if a person is sitting while holding a Sefer Torah vertical, you need to stand, says Rav Chaim. A fantastic chiddush. And Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that according to this, the Sefer Torah should always be placed lying down during the Haftorahs. Not being held by somebody else, it should be lying down, because only when it's lying down is it considered resting. That is the shita for those who put the Sefer Torah lying down in such a fashion. Rav Shechter questions the Svara, but nevertheless, Rav Moshe, Negros Moshe, or Chaim Aleph Lam Hei disagrees with Rabbi Soloveitchik. He says that the Torah is only considered resting when it's being held while sitting. He says that is a great form of resting. The opposite. It has to be that it's just being held while sitting. And he disagrees with the concept of having a bench. He thinks benches with the Sefer Torah, with the holes, is totally inappropriate. That's not considered resting. It needs to be held to be considered resting while sitting. Rav Moshe feels that the Torah is only considered secure and resting if it's being held by a human being. And if no one wants to hold the Sefer Torah, says Rav Moshe, then it's preferable to keep the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh than to have it sit in those holes in the benches. Better to be back in the Aron Kodesh.
Or a cotton holding it.
What?
Or a cotton holding it.
A cotton holding it surely could raise its own issues as well. The Das Sofer in Simen Chaf records that in the base medrash of the Ksav Sofer and the Shevada Sofer, the minhag was to place the Sefer Torah in a bench with holes. So in the base medrash of the Sofer family, they did have such a minhag to put it in a bench with holes, and he explains that the reason for this type of furniture is that it's difficult for someone to hold the Torah while concentrating on Kriyas HaTorah. You have the Siddur and the Chumash, and there's a lot going on, so it's not appropriate for someone to hold it, and therefore that's why they put it in the holes. So we have all different types of Minhagim, according to the Rav and the Soloveitchik family, the Torah lies down when it's resting. Rav Moshe says it's being held while seated, and according to the Sofer family, it can be placed in the bench with the host. So we have, just to review, the idea of standing while the Sefer Torah walks, when the Aron Kodesh is open, Hagba, Kalmales, and when something else is going on, the Sefer Torah needs to be at rest.
Yeah.